Well, I have a message for you. It's a very simple message, but I'll be interested to see how you react to it. It's a claim that is, well, it's about myself, but it's also kind of about you. This is the claim: I am the best. Is that a claim about me, or is that a claim about you? What do you think? What do you think, Joel? It's about me? Yeah, it's about me. Is it only about me? No. Because if I'm saying I am the best, what am I saying about everybody else? They're not. They're not the best. Okay. I'll start off with that, because in our passage today, we see a claim about God. And often when we see claims about God in the Bible, we can think, oh, that's just talking about God. But actually, often, when you see a claim about God, it's also saying something about us. And we're going to see that in our reading that we're going to see in just a few moments. But remember, as we come to this book, we're coming to a letter that was written by somebody called John. We can call him Old John at this point, because he is properly old. He probably isn't wearing a hat like that as he writes the letter. But that's because it's Christmas, we thought that'd be fun. But he is really, really old. And John was a disciple. So he lived with Jesus. He knew Jesus. In the first part of his letter, he talks about the fact that Jesus was somebody that he could touch, he knew. And often when people get older, they look back on their time, things that they've gone through in the past, and they say, they kind of tell the stories, they remember. My granddad used to do that all the time. He was a soldier in the Second World War. And he'd often remember and tell me about things that he knew from back then, things he lived through from back then. That's what's happening here. Old John is looking back at the time when Jesus was on the earth. And he's remembering, and he's saying, this isn't just something I remember. This is something that's really important for everybody. And in our passage today, we're going to see John talk about a really big claim about God. And that claim is also, actually, it affects us as well. So if you want to get a Bible and find this reference, if you're on the front row, you might have to get somebody behind you to help you out. I've got a spare one here as well, actually. Here you go, honey. And turn to page 1225. I'm going to read seven verses, but we're really going to focus only on three this morning. This is old John with his quill writing this letter to people he knows, and he's pointing them back to stuff that all happened when he was alive, when Jesus was on the earth. And this is what he says: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now listen out for the big claim about God that John is about to make, and the two reactions to it. One big claim about God, two reactions. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Did you see the big claim in verse 5? The message. Christ's message. As John looks back at the time when he knew Jesus, he can remember all the things Jesus did. Jesus did some really amazing things, didn't he? But he also remembers some of the things Jesus taught. Some of the things Jesus said. And he remembers all those things Jesus said, and he brings them together into one message. And he says, Jesus' message was kind of this. Verse 5. Can you see what it is? It's a message, and it's all about God. This is what it says: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you understand that? You think you understand that? What do you think? Is that easy to understand? What do you think, Max? Nod, shake head, what do you think? You know what light is, don't you? We know what light is, don't we? We're kind of familiar with the concept of God. We might look at that, we might think, okay, I think I kind of get it. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. But we need to think about it, don't we? To really think about what it's really saying. Because it's actually saying something quite deep, quite powerful. Because think of this, we all know what a candle is, don't we? Hope we all know what a candle is. Especially around Christmas, we light a few more candles than normal Christmas, don't they? All the candle makers love Christmas, I'm sure. We all know what a candle is, but imagine if I said this. Imagine if I said, the sun is a candle. Would that be true or not true?
In a sense.
In a sense, Joel says. Yeah, sort of. Yeah. What about if I said, the sun is like a candle? You're getting closer, aren't we, if we say the sun is like a candle. But does that mean that the sun is only about that big? No. But there is a sense in which the candle is a little bit like the sun, isn't it? There is a sense to which, when we look at that small picture, it tells us something about the really, really big thing that we're trying to explain. But actually, the sun is way, 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 way bigger than a candle, more powerful. It's very, very different in many ways. But this small picture gives us a bit of a sense of the really, really big thing. It's just a small picture. And that's what's happening here. When we see John saying that God is light, it's a very small picture. Light is a small picture of everything God is. Because we know what a light is, don't we? We've got lights on now, we've got some twinkly ones over there, we've got some big ones up there, there's a really, really big one outside. We know what light is. But this is just trying to get us to see something about God. It's not trying to explain everything about God at once, because that's impossible. It's trying to get us just to see something about God. And what he's trying to see, this message is trying to say, is saying that God is all of these things. He's light, he's purity, he is power, he is love, he is truth. And if we look at any of those one thing at one at a time, that won't give us the whole picture. We have to kind of look at all those different things at the same time. And even then, we don't really get our head around who God really is. Because God is that big. And God is that different to us. He's huge. He's vast. And the thing is, it's not just about God being light, is it? Have a look at verse 5. The message is about God being light, but what else does John say about God? It says, God is light, but what else? Can you see, Daniel? There's no darkness. In God, there is no darkness at all. So he is all the good things. Good and purity and power and right and justice and all these things, but there's no darkness in him. He's pure. And so he's like the best possible being in the whole universe. And that's kind of hard for us to get our head around, isn't it? Because in our world, we know about purity, we know about power, we know about sort of things like that. But in our world, it's always intermingled with other stuff. So we even think about ourselves. We might know somebody who's really powerful, but they might be really scary because they're actually not very nice. Or we might know about somebody who's sometimes right, but sometimes wrong, sometimes good, sometimes bad, and that's what we're like. We're really quite complicated things. We have great capacity to do really, really good things, but we could also do really, really wrong things. And so when we think about God as being none of these things, but all of these things, it's quite hard to get your head around, isn't it? It should be. Remember when we first looked at that thing about God being light? At first you can look at that and you'd be like, yeah, I kind of get it. But actually, whenever we see something the Bible says about God and we straight away think, yeah, I get it, it means we haven't got it. Because we're talking about someone that is so different to anything else in the world, anything else in the universe. And so actually the right way to react actually when we think about who God is almost to get to the point where you're sort of like, even if you say, wait, what? Even that is a better reaction than saying, yes, I get it. Because you don't get it. Because God is way, way bigger than we can understand. But what John is trying to do is he says that, as he says, God is light. And there's no darkness in him. He's kind of saying this, God is not like people. God is way bigger. He's way, way, way better. Just more glorious than you can possibly even imagine, let alone be. God is not like people. He's on a whole other level. And it's true that we're made in God's image, aren't we? But he's not made in our image. And he lives on a totally different level to us. And that's what John is saying right at the beginning. He wants us to realize, actually, that between God and us, there's a big, big gap in goodness, in power, in character. God and what he's like is over here. He's a totally, totally different being. And us, what we're like, we're all the way over here. I tell you, we're all the way over here. We're all the way over here. We're outside. This is a weird sermon, isn't it? You don't know where I am. But God is up here, and we are miles away. In who we are and in what we're like, there's a huge gap between God and his character and people like you and like me, in our power, in our sort of morality. There's a huge, huge, huge gap. And that's what John is saying here when he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. He's saying God is not like people. He's not. So how do we react to that? If that's the big message, God is light, in him there's no darkness, God is not like people, what's our reaction? Because you remember when I said, I am the best? There was a reaction. Probably all in your head, but some of you would have been thinking, no you're not. Most of you would have been thinking, no you're not. You might have thought, no you're not. I am. You might have been thinking, no you're not. She is, or he is. Or, possibly, not likely, possibly you could have said, yeah. Not likely, but it's a possibility, isn't it? But there's a reaction. I make a claim about myself, and there's a reaction. Either that's true or that's not. And if that's true or not makes a difference to how you see yourself. And that's what John is saying here about God. If God is not like people, how do you react? And there are two different reactions. As we keep going in the passage, in verse 6 there's a different reaction, and in verse 7 there's a different reaction. Two kinds of people, and two different reactions from each of these kinds of people. Okay? Have a look at verse 6. What's the first reaction of the people in verse 6? Can you see? They claim something about themselves while they're walking in the darkness. It says this, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So what these people are doing is they're claiming fellowship with God. What do you think it means to say fellowship with God? What do you think that means? What's fellowship? Any idea? Friends. What do you think, Joel?
A relationship.
Relationship. Closeness. A togetherness. Yeah, okay. So I could claim a togetherness with Tim. I could claim togetherness with all of you on different levels. But imagine I claim a togetherness with Tim. Okay? We both like the same kind of thing. We both love telling people about Jesus. We're both Christians. We both work here. There's a togetherness with me and Tim. We're quite similar in many ways. We know each other. We're part of each other's lives. I can say there's a fellowship with Tim. I can't say there's a fellowship with the Queen, can I? We're not on the same level, me and the Queen. If the Queen shows up at Sainsbury's, the place is going to shut down. If I show up at Sainsbury's, which I do all the time, frankly, the service isn't great. No, it's fine. That's teasing. Perfectly good. But we're not on the same level, are we? Me and the Queen, I can't claim to have any fellowship with the Queen. And it's not even, I've never met her, I don't know her, and even if I did, she's way more important than me, and there's nothing I can do to bridge that gap. And look in verse 6, these people, they claim fellowship with God, but as they do that, they're still walking in darkness. They're living their lives, just saying, I'm the one in charge. There's still sin right at the root of everything they're doing, and yet they claim a kind of a I'm okay with God. That's what they're doing. And actually, we could summarize this kind of thing as being two kinds of people. The people that say that, verse 6, they're lost in lies. Lies about themselves and lies about God. They hear that God is light and there's no darkness in him whatsoever. And they hear that message, God is not like people. And they're kind of like, yeah, but he is kind of. Because people are kind of like him, or he's kind of like people. And what they do when they do that is they kind of bridge the gap. Because they think they can bridge the gap between God and people. And they live with the lies. Have you ever been in a fun fair where there's been a hall of mirrors? You don't get that many of them anymore, do you? But they're great fun. Stand in front of one mirror and it looks like you're all stretched out. And you stand in another one, you're all like scrunched up. There's another one that's all broken up, and your eyes over here, and your hands over here. And you look in those mirrors, and you can still tell that it's you, can't you? Same colours, same hair, same, you know, you can still tell that it's you. But actually, imagine you look in a mirror, and you see your reflection in the mirror, and it's not you, it's a really twisted version of you, but you like that version better. And you actually say, no, that's how I like people to think of me, and that's how I like to think of myself. And so, that's true, and this isn't. That's kind of what people do with God. They like the twisted version of themselves. They like the lie about themselves better than the truth that is uncomfortable. And so they hear a claim about God being good and God being light and God being perfect. And that makes them think, oh wait, that's saying that I'm not like that. No, I don't want that. I'm going to live with the lie. And we might not realize we're doing it, but all of us have done this at one point. All of us are born into that state, actually, where we're trying to fix that gap between God and us, ourselves, or we're pretending it's not even there. And so God is on one side, and God is pure power, and pure light, and pure, you know, he's just pure in every possible way. He's holy. But then something happens that we think is unfair. And so we think, well, God can't be just. Maybe I'm the one that knows what's really just. And suddenly we start to lie about ourselves and we say, no, I know what's just. God doesn't know what's just. And suddenly we think that the gap is not there. And it's a lie. It's a lie about God and it's a lie about ourselves. That's what John here says, doesn't he? He says, if we do that, if we say we have fellowship with God while we're walking in the darkness, we lie, verse 6, and we do not live by the truth. But all of us have started off life like this, saying these lies about ourselves and saying these lies about God, and our society encourages us to live in those lies. Those lies are being told all around us, all the time. And it's not a popular thing to do, to say, I want to live by the truth that is difficult, the truth that attacks my pride, rather than the lie that flatters me, but is a lie. But that's one way to react to that message. That God is not like people. To sort of say, yes, he is. People are maybe more like God than the Bible says. Or maybe God is more like people than the Bible says. But either way, I'm okay. And we all are born into that lie, and we live in that lie unless Jesus takes us out of it. And it's a terrible place to be, to carry on in that lostness, in those lies. There'll come a day, actually, when God will judge those who are lost in those lies, and there'll be no chance to get out. But the message of Christmas is all about being stolen from that lostness, being taken out of that lostness, saved from that lostness, and brought into the other side. Brought to the other side where you are living in light. And that's the second reaction we see. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Some people will say, nah, don't think so. And they live with the lie. Whereas some will live in the light. Some will live in the light. And we see that in verse 7, don't we? This is what it says in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We might look at that, we might think, oh, that's just talking about living a good life, isn't it? We often use that language of, oh, he walks in the light. In a film, you might get something like that. someone who's sort of trying to be a good person, they walk in the light. We've just seen God is not like us. We can't get ourselves good enough in our own power to be like God. And yet, look what this verse says. It says, these people have fellowship. The first group of people claim fellowship but don't have it. These people have fellowship. But they have fellowship because they are with Jesus, his Son, who purifies them from all sin. Remember that huge gap, that massive gap between God and people. We can't breach that. And living a life that pretends it's not there is not going to save us. But actually here we see a group of people that do have fellowship with God because Jesus has brought them into it through his death on the cross. And so this second group of people, when they hear this big claim, God is not like people, the people that live in light say, that's true. God is holy, and God is pure, and God is perfect, and I'm not like that. Even on my best day, even on my best week, even when I try really hard, I can never be like that. It's true that God is not like people. He is holy, he is powerful, he is good, in a way that I can't even imagine. God is not like people? Yeah, that's true. And actually, that's such an amazing thing to be reminded of at Christmas. Because imagine if God was just like people. Why would we celebrate Christmas if God was just like people? If a person like God became a person, that's no big deal. But a God becoming a person, becoming a baby, that's astonishing. Christmas is amazing. Jesus being born as a baby is amazing because God is not like people. And that's true. We might say that. We might say, yeah, that's true. God is not like people. I'm not like God. There's a huge gap between God and who he is and me and what I'm like and what I'm capable of. But there's more, isn't there? But you could say, yeah, that's true. I'm not like God, but God made himself like us. That's what we remember at Christmas. The one who is not human, making himself like a human. Coming and living in our world, taking our pains, our sorrows, our judgment on himself. God is not like people, but he made himself like people. In the form of Jesus, when he came at Christmas. And because of that, because of Jesus coming and dying, we can be saved. And so that gap between God and who he is, what he is like, and us, and what we're like, can be breached. And we can go from being lost in light to living in light. That's the message of Christmas. That's what John looks back at here as he talks about the message that Jesus brought. Christ's message, God is not like people. There's two ways that people react to that, two kinds of people. Those that are lost in lies and would prefer to live in those lies. But those that are living in the light say, yes, that's true, but because of what Jesus has done, I can be with God forever. I made a crazy claim at the beginning, which I don't really believe. It's always interesting to see your faces when you, what's he saying? What's he doing here? But how do you react to this claim this Christmas? Will you twist it in your head and make God something he's not? Will you twist your own perception of yourself in your head and make yourself something you're not? Or will you see what John is saying about God here, what Jesus said about God, and say, yes, God is utterly holy, utterly different to any human being, and that's a problem if I'm on the wrong side of him. But because of what Jesus has done, I can have fellowship with this God, and I can have a life with him forever. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the truth of this statement, and we pray that you would help us to see the truth of it. It's not easy. And so we need your help with it. We pray that your Spirit would open our eyes to what is true, and whatever lies we've been living with would just be washed away. And Father, as we come to this Christmas time, we pray that you would help us to really see your holiness, your perfection, all the more, so that we might marvel all the more at the fact that you became human and took on our judgment, our sin, our suffering, so that you might save us from it and save us from that lostness. We pray there might be many even here this morning moving from lostness to light. Not for our glory, or primarily even for our good, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.